This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, college football fans, and welcome to the Primetime Podcast. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only, young underscore Swanson, Brandon Swanson.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Brandon, we are here today, and I feel like because we're talking so much football, I have to throw... This is our bowl preview, by the way, in case you guys couldn't see by the title. But before we get into the... I say this on all of them. The meat and potatoes of this podcast. I feel like we got to throw out just a little bit of basketball. Not really long. Just that my prediction is coming true in the Final Four prediction. Texas is going to start making their run. They beat North Carolina on a buzzer beater. This is where they make the run. They go to the Final Four. It's going to happen.
Well, I got to tell you, that was one hell of a game that Texas played against North Carolina. I wasn't able to see the whole thing, but I was able to see the end of the game, probably the last probably 6 minutes or
that's
so.
That's your team. That's your team.
And, yeah, North Carolina, they're a good team. They're going to be a good team. Texas is good. Texas is
well, now
very
they're good.
Good
with Shaka Smart.
Yeah, they are.
And we are going to definitely...
But we knew that. We knew that.
We're definitely going to be talking more about Shaka Smart as the season goes on, as we switch from football to basketball. But this is... We've got one of the few football podcasts we have left. We got to cherish this season because it's almost over. And Brandon, we're going to be talking bowl games today. Not all of them, because let's be honest. Does Brandon want to talk about the Cure Bowl between San Jose State, who's 5-7, and Georgia State, who's 6-6, or the Arizona Bowl, Nevada 6-6, Colorado State, a 7-5 team. I know you don't want to talk about those. We're going to talk about the good ones, though.
Well, folks, I got to tell you, Ricky throws me under the bus and says, because I don't want to talk about them. Do you want to listen to what we have to even say about a 5-7 team going up a 6-6 team? If you do, please comment down below and let me know. But if you're with me saying, Brandon, thank you for saving us the waste of time, say thank you.
Well, I think that before we get into any games, I think we got to talk about that. Because we have, if we go through all the bowl games, we have like three or four teams that are 5-7. But because we didn't have enough 6-win teams, they got into bowl games.
I just don't. I don't want to sound like I'm really hating on the 5-7 team, but that's not the game I'm going to watch. It's not the game I'm interested in. Maybe their team is probably interested in them watching that bowl game, but I am not. I don't want to see it. I don't really care to see it, but that doesn't mean that there's not a place for it. They won five games.
There's only one 5-7, a game featuring a 5-7 team that I'm going to watch. And that is going to be the Foster Farm Bowl, because that's going to have UCLA versus Nebraska. And only because those are two teams, those are two names that I go, ooh, UCLA and Nebraska, sure. I'll watch that, especially because of how good UCLA had been earlier this season. But the big games are obviously those when we look at the Holiday Bowl. You got the Trojans and the Badgers. You got the Wildcats going up against the Volunteers. You've got the Pac-12, Big Ten, Big Ten SEC, the Michigan Florida matchup, which is Big Ten SEC again. Oregon TCU. Those are the games I'm going to watch. And to me, out of the ones I mentioned, let's start with that Holiday Bowl. You've got the Trojans of Southern Cal going up against the Badgers of Wisconsin. Two teams that I know when we did our Big Ten preview, both of us thought, oh, well, we didn't think Iowa was going to be Iowa, but we thought, hey, the Badgers are going to be playing in that Big Ten title game against two. And then on the other side, I thought the Trojans were going to be a national champion this year.
We didn't hear much about Wisconsin at all this season.
No.
You know when we heard about Wisconsin?
When they lost to Alabama.
Absolutely. That was really the only time.
Or when they lost to Iowa because it was like a 10-6 game.
But Wisconsin was not the team that we thought that they would be this year. And on the other side, USC, they had a lot of problems. They were just riddled with problems all season long. Cody Kessler, though, he was a bright spot for them. I think that this will probably be a really intriguing, it's a really intriguing matchup on paper. I think it'll probably be a pretty good game to watch. At the end of the day, I think we're going to see our Trojans from Southern Cal get the win, though, over Wisconsin. That's just too much firepower on the side of USC.
Well, and I mean, with that firepower, it's kind of like if, and this link is in the description in case you guys are like, well, Ricky, where are you pulling this information from? CBS Sports came out with an article where they ranked all 40 bowl games. And when they gave their little snippet on the Holiday Bowl, they even said, they're like, USC's a better team than their record suggests. I mean, you look at Cody Kessler, you look at the wide receivers they've got, you look at that team, and you just look at it and go, wow, how did you not get into the college football playoff? Let's be honest. They kind of limped themselves from a 5-loss season into the Pac-12 title game. I mean, that was also because Oregon kind of fell off the map this year. You had Utah come out strong, but when they got to conference play, they couldn't really get anything going. And the only reason USC didn't win the Pac-12 title was because the Stanford Cardinal was their kryptonite. Beat them twice this season. And probably one of the main reasons, and I know this is a little stat correction from last week when we talked Heisman, Christian McCaffrey broke Barry Sanders' college record, but still, the only thing that put McCaffrey on the map was his two games against the Trojans. However, this Wisconsin, it's like, where have you been? I'm going to pick the Trojans to win this one right now. However, when we get closer to this game, it may be interesting to see if I sway over to the Big Ten. Because I want the Big Ten to do well. Maybe except Northwestern. I'll probably be the biggest Tennessee Vol fan that you can find. But another game that intrigues me is that Alamo Bowl. I mean, we're moving Pac-12 to Pac-12, but I mentioned Oregon. They kind of fell off playing a team in TCU that, yet again, Ricky had in his college football playoff at the beginning of the year.
Ricky, you can't say that. You can't say that, well, today it's going to be USC, and you know what? In a week from now, it might be Nebraska.
Here's the deal. With me, any pick I make at this point in time is kind of a kind of, and you meant Wisconsin. I know what you meant.
I said Nebraska.
You said Nebraska.
Were we talking about Nebraska another time?
We were talking about Nebraska playing UCLA. But for me, until I finalize my Bowl Mania, which you can check the link down below in the description if you want to challenge me and Brandon at ESPN's Bowl Mania, until I make those picks and it's finalized when it locks on December 19th, you know me, Brandon, until those picks lock, I change my mind a million times,
such
especially on those close ones.
Bitch.
I change my mind a million times.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially
you just can't go with one thing and stick with it.
No.
As we have called him before, I don't know if on this podcast.
It's fantasy football.
He is so.
I'm a tinkerer.
Flavor of the week.
I'm a
kind of guy.
I'm a tinkerer. One former MVP podcaster here, Dave Oster, in fantasy football, calls me a tinkerer. Because it'll be Sunday morning at 3 o'clock a.m., and I'll be scrolling through my lineup going, I don't like this guy, and I'll switch him.
I'll tell you what,
though, game.
But that's not bad. That's not bad. You can be a tinker, but flavor of the week.
But I'm saying with game picks, I'm very tinkery, too. We'll get into this when we get to March Madness. I will, the night the brackets come out, go, okay, that's my bracket. Then 2 days later, before they lock, I'll look at it a few more times going, am I sure about that matchup? I'm the same way with these bowl games. But Oregon-TCU, that's the one I threw out. Like I said, Oregon kind of fell off from what they were last year. TCU, I thought they'd be a playoff team.
TCU, we all thought that they were going to be really good at the beginning of the season. Oregon,
I
too,
mean,
though.
10-2, you're still pretty good.
Yeah, but we thought they were going to be up there to be able to compete for a playoff spot, like a top 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that just didn't happen. They had some injuries towards the end of the season, and they just didn't They did not play as well as Oklahoma did. They didn't. They couldn't get enough firepower going, I don't think, for themselves. And Oregon,
how many of us, me being one included, thought Boykin was going to be Heisman level this year?
We said it at the beginning. We said it at the very beginning that we believed he would be the number one for Heisman. I'm very, very happy with how it ended up, though.
Well, yeah, because you're Roll Tide.
On the other side for Oregon, 9-3. You know, I'll tell you what, though. That is not so bad for going from where they were last year to this year. There's not a lot of drop-off from last year to this year. They weren't where they wanted to be. They still ended a ranked team. Oregon's got places to go.
I feel like this game, this one game, this bowl game, the Alamo Bowl, this is going to be a fun. Like, if you're, besides the New Year Six, because I feel like most of the New Year Six bowls, you're going to watch a New Year Six bowl. It's got the hype around it of being an NY6. But this game, although it's not a New Year Six, and it's, you know, January 2nd after the New Year's games are done, and I just look at these teams and I think, okay, TCU, on offense, you got that spread that we talked about all year in the Big 12 being one of the reasons why the Big 12 wasn't in the playoff discussion early on. Well, Oklahoma proved us wrong, but you got that going up against the, I'm going to say, the Oregon way. The way of Chip Kelly, the way of now, it seems like whatever coach takes over, boom, that's the offense we run. That's the way we go. And, I mean, yes, has Vernon Adams not been Marcus Mariota? Yeah. But did we expect him to be Marcus Mariota? Maybe a little bit. Maybe we put the pedestal too high on Vernon Adams. But this is going to be a fun game only because of the offensive systems we get to watch. And I would not be surprised if this is like a 52-48 game where everyone's scoring all over the place just because of the offenses.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think that's what we're probably going to see. We're going to see a high scoring game in this one. It would be very fitting. I agree with you. Both of these offenses, they bring a lot to the table. On the other side for defense, at this point, if you're not one of the playoff teams, you just want to score points.
Yeah, that's
all
you want.
I mean, who really cares? You just want to score freaking points.
You just want to win the game and score a lot of points. You know what team I actually feel sorry for out of all these bowl games? Temple. Because you're a team where you were basically out of a New Year's Six bowl by one game. You beat Houston, and you're playing Florida State in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. However, you lose that game.
But you get to play in the Chick-fil-A Bowl because
won the group of five.
I know,
but
I'm saying for that, you probably get free Chick-fil-A, so they better not bitch about it.
But they lose that game to Houston that makes them no longer – they didn't win their conference title. And I feel so bad because they are a top 25 team that has to play in the Boca Raton Bowl on December 22nd against who? Toledo. Yeah, I know Toledo went 9-2, but Toledo's one of those teams where you call me flavor of the weeky. Well, they were a big flavor of the week. They were really good early when they were undefeated. It's like, oh, are they a group of five team that's going to make a push? No, they lost two games. They fell off the map. And now if I'm Temple, I'm going great. Great. Why couldn't you put me up against one of those bigger teams from the Power Five? It's like, come on, I'm a ranked team here. I'm a top 25 team. Give me some respect. That's what I'd be saying if I were the Owls. Brandon's got nothing. Brandon don't like the group of five.
No, I I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, do you agree with me? Do you feel like Temple, because they are ranked, should have gotten by the select bowl selection committee? And I know that there's a ton of rules that go into bowl selection. Like, I was looking in for some of the New Year's Six stuff because we had to come up with, based on our last rankings, what would our New Year's Six be? and there's like a group, a list of like, well, after this bowl gets its pick, this bowl gets the next, like the first dibs on this highest team in this conference. And maybe that's why this happened. But do you think I have, like, are the facts there to say, yes, Temple is a ranked team. They should be playing someone a little bit better than Toledo in a bowl game.
Yeah, sure.
As Brandon just goes, Ricky, it's a group of five. Can we talk about a power five game?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, most of these bowls, unless it's a team that I've been watching this year, following this year, I don't care. I'm not going to have time to watch all these things.
How about Notre Dame, Ohio State?
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
What do you think about it, though?
I think it's a great matchup.
Does Notre Dame do what they usually do in bowl games and just get blown out of the water, especially against an Ohio State team that it was like, what, one loss to Michigan State away from being in the playoff?
I don't know about that. I'm interested to see it. I mean, because we all know what happened against Notre Dame a couple of years back against Alabama. It was bad. It was bad, like funny bad. But I think that, no, I'd love to see Notre Dame go up against Ohio State. I am very excited for this matchup because of how these two teams were this year. Both of these teams were on the cusp of possibly being able to get into the playoff. Neither team did. I'm excited and interested to see what happens.
And this is
Ricky,
also going
just to let
be...
you know, go no, hold on. No, going back to your comments on Temple, okay. I really didn't listen to most of them. But
because well, it's group of five, Brandon. Tones out.
But that's not just it. Just because, I mean, that doesn't, to me, that's not a matchup that's like really intriguing. Oh, Temple, Toledo.
No,
like,
I know.
Like, I'm not getting a boner
saying.
Over them.
That's what I'm
so,
saying.
So, but
Toledo should be in one of those better matchups. Even like, I would say a Toledo Northwestern. Give them one of those lower power five. Well, maybe not Northwestern because they're ranked as well, but maybe like a Temple LSU. Or a Temple Texas A&M, or a Mississippi State, a Georgia, you can't put Temple Navy, they've already played the season, or like a Miami, a Cal. Give them a lower power five to go up against because they played well enough in their conference to deserve a ranking at the end of the year. That's what I'm saying.
What do you think Toledo says? 9-2? They may think the same thing.
Yeah, but they're not. To me, it's all about that ranking as well. And plus, Toledo wasn't in the running for the MAC. The MAC championship was between Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. Toledo wasn't in their conference championship. Temple was arguably one win away from being in a New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, yeah, Toledo, you're 9-1, but there's no way you were going to beat Houston or Temple to get into that New Year's Six because of the best group of five team gets a New Year's Six ball. That's all I was saying with that one. But the one thing I was going to say about that Fiesta Bowl, the last game we will see Zeke in a Buckeye uniform. Does he go off in his last game for the Buckeyes?
Against this Notre Dame defense, been a little banged up as of late. The last couple of weeks, towards the end, they were getting banged up. I think we may see Ezekiel Elliott have his way against Notre Dame's defense. But I think we're going to see a big game out of Will Fuller, too, for Notre Dame.
Well, in Notre Dame, it's all about DeShone Kizer. How are you going to end the season with what you started? And one thing I want to throw out earlier this month, I just threw out a tweet. I was like, they were talking about the Fiesta Bowl, and I looked at it, and I went, you know, something tells me Ohio State is going to destroy Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. And I said, am I wrong? And I got a tweet back from, it's a parody account, but the account was called Arrogant Urban Meyer. Obviously, one of those accounts where you're parodying Urban Meyer, and you're kind of arrogant about it. Tweeted back at me and said, destroy doesn't fully capture the essence of what I'll do to them. Annihilate from existence is more accurate. So to me, I take that like Buckeye Nation's cocky about this game, Brandon. Buckeye Nation is cocky.
What do you think that you would have done if you would have tweeted it, you know, out and said it in the other on the other way. I bet you would have gotten not Brian Kelly, you know, and they would have said the same thing on the other side.
Maybe it's because I'm not an Irish fan, but if I was an Irish fan, I wouldn't be confident about this game only because.
Because Ohio State's looked great all year.
One, Ohio State is amazing this year. And two.
Wait. Excuse me?
And two.
No. Excuse me? Because you were on their bandwagon all year long, weren't you? Oh, no. Wait. No, you weren't. That's right. So what the fuck are you doing now saying that they were great all year round?
End of the year. Okay. The NIU game was about the only game where. They didn't show up. Should have lost that game, but hey, it bit them in the butt when they lost to the Spartans. What I'm trying to say is they're a team that has the potential to walk into any game and blow you out. Was it like that earlier in the year? Maybe against Virginia Tech, not so much against NIU, but the bigger thing, and my second point is the bigger one, the Irish have just shit the bed in bowl games in recent years. And I only know this because one of our mutual friends, Dave Wahlberg, huge Irish fan. And I remember after every single bowl game for the Irish, don't be around Dave because he ain't going to be a happy camper. Plus, he was drinking at the time and probably got a little rageful at his TV. And it's a miracle that the bottle didn't go through the TV during that game. But there's just something about this game that I just look at it and go, the Buckeyes are going to be... They're going to bring that extra mustard, and I don't know if Notre Dame is going to be able to keep up with it. But, hey, I may be wrong.
Don't count out the Irish, man. Don't count them out.
What about North Carolina Baylor, the team that got screwed from being in the playoff?
No, I don't.
Okay, got screwed from having the chance to be in the playoff. Okay, I like that.
It's a better choice of words.
Can you tell I'm still salty?
I'm still on Notre Dame.
Can you tell I'm still a little salty about that?
No, I could barely even tell. Yeah, no, I think North Carolina wins that game.
Big? Does Baylor even stand a chance in that?
Yeah, Baylor stands a chance. Baylor, because Baylor lost to Texas to end the season. Yeah, North Carolina's going to win.
Hey, man, this Texas thing. This whole school, man, they beat Baylor at the end of the season in football. They knock off a top team in the Tar Heels in basketball. Things are looking up in Austin.
You know what happened, though, right? Shaka Smart went to the Texas football team and said, don't you guys worry. Every Texas fan's going to forget about football in a few weeks here.
Or did Matthew McConaughey stop by and give the Longhorns a little talking to like he has in the past?
I don't know if Matthew McConaughey could save him.
Well, you know what they say about the Baylor Bears. I keep getting older. They stay the same age. No, you don't like that Matthew McConaughey reference? Brandon's giving me the dirtiest look right now.
I don't know if it's a dirty look, more of a confused look.
I just wanted to throw out a Matthew McConaughey reference. Let me know down in the comment how that reference made no sense and that Ricky just wanted to throw out one of Matthew McConaughey's most popular lines, but... No, to me, I feel like this game, Tar Heels and the Bears, both teams want to forget their last game. The Tar Heels want to forget the game because I feel like that Big Blue Nation, or that's Kentucky, Tar Heel Nation, wants to forget that game because they believe inside we should have won. We should have won that game. Now, us on the outside as media... Should they have won that game? Not necessarily. They still had to go down and score after getting the ball back. But they did have a good chance to win that game. Whereas Baylor is sitting there going, wow, people like Brandon are just making us like a laughing stock because we lost to Texas. And should they? Yes, they lost to Texas. Let's be honest. And with the brawl we saw in that game, Art Briles wants to put that game behind him and the season. On a positive note, and I know you're sitting there going, but Ricky, every team wants to end their season on a positive note. For these two teams, it's a little bit more personal because of their last game. I got to agree with Brandon, though. I'm leaning on the side of the Tar Heels just because of the weapons. If you can hang with the number one team. Well, I'm going to use air quotes, number one team in air quotes in the country, because let's be honest, based on talent, the Crimson Tide are really the number one team in this country. But if you could hang with the number one undefeated team, I'll say that, in the country, you're going to have your way with Baylor. There's no doubt about it.
And, you know, North Carolina, they're getting their head football coach. They get him signed for 7 more years.
Mm-hmm.
They're a happy squad.
Coach Fedora is here to stay.
They're a happy squad right now. Things are looking up for them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to where they wanted to this year, but they played very, very well. This is not what they want to be playing in. You know, some of their guys, they may not even want to play. Because of the fact that we don't get there. Who cares? We got to a bowl. Who cares? But they still got there. They still had a good season. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, just put it out of mind. You can't. I mean, come on. You can't do that.
Both teams are going to bring that next game into this last bowl game.
Yeah. So I think we'll be in for a pretty good game there. But I'm still saying NC.
And, I mean, talk about a team that wants to forget their last game. How about the matchup of number 19 Florida against number 14 Michigan? I didn't expect Jim Harbaugh to be this good with Michigan so soon. I'll be honest.
Well, I told you earlier this year, I said that there was no way that Harbaugh was going to be this successful. I said he'd maybe win 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was I wrong.
That's what both of us said. Like, 6 games at the most. Like, that was, to us, 6 games was a great season for Michigan. But I think this really showed for the Wolverine Nation in Ann Arbor, like, hey, yeah, well, dude, we've got a talented team. Brady Hoke just couldn't bring that talent out.
I was just
going
to say, you know what I think it was? It was exactly that, is I think that we thought that Michigan was actually talent-wise worse than what they were. And you just needed the right person to foster that mm-hmm. talent, to really grow them. And that's exactly what Jim Harbaugh did.
Dude, he knows how to coach, man.
And he does. He
just knows how to coach.
He not only knows how to coach, he gets everything, you know, that's associated with that. He gets his players. He gets the respect from them. He knows how to coach. He knows scheme. He knows things like that. And it was working in the NFL, and then the 49ers screwed him over, and it's still working in college.
I'm going to say this. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a coach that can he coach on all levels? Of course, but to me, I think he's a better college coach. He's a better college coach than he is an NFL guy, because when you think about it, one of the things that, and I mean, no one really talks about this, but think about Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick. Why do you think Harbaugh went with a guy like Cap to Alex Smith? One of the reasons might have been, hey, Cap is a younger guy. I can work with a younger guy better. I can treat him more of that college kid type of thing.
And I think it's more because, too, Colin Kaepernick he's a college-style
yep.
quarterback.
Right out of the pistol in Nevada. Right out of that pistol. But, I mean, looking at this game, I mean, you have Michigan, who was one of the big teams in the Big Ten Beast. That's what I call the East, if you're new to the podcast. And now they get to go up against a Florida team that, I mean, they're the same way. We barely even talked about Florida in our SEC preview. Our SEC preview was Alabama. We talked about Georgia. We talked about Mississippi State. Can they carry over with what they did last year? We didn't really mention Florida that much. And I feel like we had that coming in, because did we expect them to do great things year one after Will Muschamp leaving? And this is a Florida team that was able to kind of shock us a little bit. Now, did the problems with Georgia help out with that? You bet your ass it did. However, this Florida team took every opportunity that it was given. And yes, I know they got demolished against Florida State. You lost the battle for Florida. You also lost the battle for the SEC by letting the Alabama Crimson Tide just roll all over you. But hey, that's usually what the Crimson Tide do, unless you're the Ole Miss Rebels this year. And now you've got one game to redeem your season. However, it's Jim Harbaugh and those Michigan Wolverines staring at you at the other end. This is going to be a tough game, man. This is going to be like hard-nosed football type stuff.
I'm wondering, though, is if Michigan from the Big Ten would be able to put up points that I know Florida can score when they can play well.
See, to me, I'm not even... To me, with Florida, I'm not focusing on their offense. I'm focusing on their defense. I'm focusing on one player on defense. And maybe it's because for our side of it, Brandon, I mean, let's be honest. The college season after these bowl games are over are done. So for me and you, when it comes to football, we're getting closer and closer to the draft. Me and Mark on the onside kick side of it still got a couple weeks. Then we got the playoffs. That kind of drags on. Me and Mark won't be in draft mode until, what, I want to say February? Whereas me and you on the college side, we're leaning over. We're getting that head start. Like, ooh, can we get some big boards? Can we get some mock drafts?
We're starting to sit down with Todd McShay and Mel Kiper.
I know.
They're coming in, actually, in a couple of weeks, yeah.
Here's the guy I'm looking at. Vernon Hargreaves.
Yep, Hargreaves.
I'm looking at him and saying, hey, man, if you want to make a big-time impression in your last college game, shut down Jake Rudock. Shut him down. Intercept him a couple times. Make him look like your B, to put it politely. Make him just, you know what? I own you. That's what you need to do. And can he do it? Yes. Now, does the offense have to help and score some points? Like you said, exactly, like, I know they can, to quote you. Yeah. But Vernon Hargreaves needs to, he's got to be like what, to Jake Rudock, he needs to be what Darrell Revis is to most quarterbacks when he was in his prime. It's just got to be shut down. Don't even think about this side of the field because, Jake, I'm right here. That's what Hargreaves needs to be.
You know, a lot of people are looking at Hargreaves and they're saying that he is the next big, shutdown corner, could be the next big shutdown corner in the NFL. So I think that it would be obviously in his favor to have one stellar just closeout game against Michigan in the Citrus Bowl.
Well, and the one team that I know that it was a while back, but when I did my midseason mock draft in the NFL, where did I have Hargreaves going? Top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5, I want to say. Baltimore Ravens, a team that has been known for getting those shutdown defensive backs in the past.
Maybe they could use him as their offensive coordinator, too.
Maybe. I'm going to bring up a game that's not a New Year's Six Bowl that maybe it doesn't excite people like it excites me, but the Pinstripe Bowl. The bowl game that, if you're like, Ricky, what's the Pinstripe Bowl? That's the game that they play at Yankee Stadium. Indiana versus Duke. Because, A, you've got a team in Indiana, Big Ten team. Of course, Ricky's going to watch it, right? But Indiana's a team, 6-6. They should be better than they are. They had, like, what, 3 or 4 games where they should have won and lost it in the end, Michigan being one of those games. And then you've got Duke.
And Ohio State being one of those games.
Duke, Ohio State was one of them. Duke's that team where really they're 7-5 with an asterisk because they should have beat Miami. They should be 8-4, let's be honest. But this is a game. Two teams of Duke we thought was going to be better than they were. Indiana were in games. Probably their record should be better than they are. This has the potential to be a good game. Two teams that are like, hey, I can just lay it all out there. Everything else that happened this season doesn't matter anymore because this is the last game to play.
You know, I actually think that Indiana's going to win this one. They've been sneaky. They've been sneaky a lot of times this year.
They've been a grinder.
But they've really never been able to really pull through in the games against the big teams, you know, like the Ohio States. But I think on December 26th, they will be able to pull through. I think they will beat Duke. And, at least at the end of the season, they'll get a little slice of the pie that everyone else is eating at the top.
And let's be honest, it's funny how all six of their losses, they started the season 4-0. But, I mean, come on, when you play Southern Illinois, Florida Atlantic, Western Kentucky, kind of your toughest non-conference game, and Wake Forest, you should at least go 3-1 in those games. But they go 4-0. Then their next six, they lose their next six. Ohio State, they should have won that game. 34-27 was the final. The next close one, Rutgers, they lose that one 55-52 in a slugfest. Then, I mean, you have Iowa, they only lose 35-27. So an 8-point deficit there. And then Michigan, they lose on the final play in overtime, 48-41. And if you take, I'm going to say even, let's just say two of those, and you're an 8-win team. Take all of them, and they're a 10-win team. I mean, yeah, it's easy to say, but Ricky woulda, coulda, shoulda, whatever. It didn't matter. They lost. This is a team that, like I said, has been a grinder this year. And I know it's not a New Year's Six Bowl. I know it's not one of those big-time bowls. I know it's not the college football playoff bowl. But there's just something about that game, Indiana and Duke, that's like, wow, I'm going to watch that one. Another one that I'm watching for one player and one player alone is the Texas Bowl for Leonard Fournette. Can you light the Red Raiders up of Texas Tech? Can you make Ryan Gosling on the sideline look like a fool? And by Ryan Gosling, I mean Kiff, the head coach of Texas Tech. He looks like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Leonard Fournette's been doing that to pretty much everyone this season.
Except Alabama.
Well, except Alabama. He still got a touchdown.
Except everyone after Alabama.
All right, you know what? Screw it. You know?
Can he get back to form? That's what I'm saying. I want to see the Leonard Fournette that I saw.
Yeah, he's had some time off now.
Before I gave him the kiss of death. I kiss of deathed him. I did, because remember,
this one's for the Mad Hatter.
We talked about, I feel like I can, like maybe it's me putting too much pressure on myself. I feel like I jinxed him. Because going into that Alabama game, because
you're that special.
Wait, going into that Alabama game, I can't even remember what the podcast was, but we talked about Leonard Fournette, and I was like, this guy's winning the Heisman. Crown him right now. And then he falls off the face of the earth. Where I immediately, like at the end of the season, I'm thinking, did I kiss a death this guy? Is it my fault? I mean, I already had to say sorry to the Trojan fans and sorry to Colt and Cowboy fans. Do I have to say sorry to Leonard Fournette fans too? Do I?
No, Ricky, because you're not that important. But
thanks for making me feel good, Brandon.
You're welcome. But I thought that maybe that would take some pressure off of you. But here's the thing is that Leonard Fournette at the time, we thought he was going to run away with the Heisman.
Mid-season prediction podcast. We
didn't see Derrick Henry coming on as much.
You did.
But then it was after that that Henry was just tearing it up each and every week. You know, that was just kind of his MO. Every week he was tearing up somebody. That's exactly what he was doing.
Before we get to, because we're getting right now, we're almost at the 38.5 mark. Before we go through the rest of the New Year sixes that we have not hit, is there any bowl that you want to talk about, Brandon? Any one that you're like, man, this one is, for me, out of all 40, this is the one to watch?
Well, I wouldn't say that for me, out of all 40, this is the one to watch. But how about this? How about this one that I think could be a little interesting? Auburn versus Memphis. Auburn, for the fact of, Auburn was supposed to be so much better this year. And they weren't good. They weren't that much better. They weren't good. 6-6.
Whereas Memphis, we made a podcast of, should an undefeated Memphis make the playoff?
And with Memphis, that no team like Memphis is ever on my radar.
Radar?
Yeah.
Your Raider?
It's the South in me.
Hey, you're all about those Oakland Raiders that you picked to win this past weekend.
Yeah, just want to let you know. I'm all on top of it. I also picked the Texans, though. But Memphis was never on my radar. Not at all. And a team like Memphis, I'll be honest with you, probably never will be on my radar to begin the season.
Well,
but with them ending at 9-3, I'm really interested to see my SEC against the nobodies.
Well, and their coach is not even going to be there next year.
No.
He's going to go play for my Hokies, my second team.
Your Hokadokes?
My Hokadokes up in Blacksburg. But we've got some New Year's Sixes that we have not talked about yet. So the ones that we've already hit were we had the Peach Bowl we kind of mentioned, but that's the Houston-Florida State one. That one I think is going to be interesting because, okay, Houston, what can you do against the Power 5 team? Especially, and then on the other side, Florida State, prove to us that you can have a great season. I mean, 10-2, they've been the one team that, yes, you're 10-2, but you haven't been that impressive because we've been saying, well, you know what? They need Jameis Winston to win. Jimbo needs Fisher to win, or Jimbo needs a great quarterback to win. Can you salvage the season by beating a one-loss Houston team? That's the way I see the Peach Bowl going.
And it's the way I see the Peach Bowl going. Houston's going to get the win.
You think so?
Yeah,
I do. Is it a blowout or is it a close game?
No, it's going to be a close game. Florida State just did not impress me a whole lot this season. That whole move with Everett Golson didn't work out like they wanted it to. Florida State 10-2, it's still really good, but I think Houston gets the win in this one, close game.
So, okay, we mentioned the Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a team that I know that because they, and this is how it worked, because although Florida was the runner-up in the SEC, Ole Miss was ranked higher in the final playoff rankings, so they automatically went to the Sugar Bowl, and then the Citrus Bowl grabbed the highest remaining SEC team. That's why Florida was there. But the Cowboys and Ole Miss, I think the Cowboys are going to win this one. I mean, Ole Miss, to me, besides beating Alabama, there's nothing to me that impressive about their season.
Oklahoma State is too much firepower. Ole Miss, Kelly's been good. That's the name of their quarterback, right? Last name, Kelly, something like that.
I want to say he's related to Jim Kelly, Bill's quarterback.
Yeah.
Like a nephew or something.
Not sure. But Oklahoma State, they played a pretty good season. Not enough to warrant.
Pretty good. Probably like maybe, what, two games away from making the playoff? They don't lose to Baylor. They don't lose to Oklahoma. They're in the playoff.
If they played a really good season, they would have been in the playoff. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know?
Close. Yeah. Close. I'd say it's a good season at 10-2.
Back up off. And Ole Miss, you know, at one point, didn't we say that they could be a number one team early in the season?
I don't think number one. I think we were riding them kind of high after they beat Alabama. Could they be a number one? And I feel like it was you that said, you know what, pump the brakes on Ole Miss for a second. Just pump the brakes on them. I think I was all high on them because you know me, I'm flavor of the weekie. And then the last one, because you may be saying, but Ricky, you got three more. One more we got to talk about is the Rose Bowl. We're leaving the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl for 2 weeks. We're going to talk about those when it gets closer. We're going to leave those for that podcast because, hey, let's be honest. If we talk about them now, we'll go for another hour and then we won't have anything to talk about in 2 weeks when we finally get to the game. But the last bowl game we're talking about today, to me, besides the playoff games, this is the best one that is not a playoff matchup. Stanford, your winners of the Pac-12 against Iowa, your runners-up in the Big Ten. This is going to be a great game. You on one side, you have the guy who many thought, many more than I would have guessed, that are saying, oh, he should have won the Heisman in McCaffrey. Then on the other side, you have an Iowa team where some have said, and I disagree with you, Colin Cowherd, that Iowa used a fake ID this year, and they weren't as good as their record says. This is the game that it doesn't really disprove those things. Like if Stanford wins, it doesn't prove that McCaffrey should have won the Heisman. But this is the case for you know what? Did Iowa use a fake ID? Are they a good team? If I feel like if Iowa beats Stanford, boom, they were a good team this year, even with one loss. They were a good team. You can't put it against them. That's what I think.
Well, this is just going to be a good game because it's the Rose Bowl. I mean, that is...
the granddaddy of them all.
It is. You know, it's... this is the game that people will want to watch, I think, strictly because it's the Rose Bowl. They could care less, like, who's in it.
Will it live up to last year's Rose Bowl between Oregon and Florida State? I mean, I know the Rose Bowl was a playoff matchup last year, but that Oregon-Florida State game, maybe it was a good game for me because I wanted Oregon to just blow them out, but will it live up to that? Or will it lose it because it's not a playoff game?
Well, why is it not a playoff game?
The Rose Bowl? Because they have the New Year's Sixes rotate. They rotate for playoffs.
To be quite honest with you, I would have the final game.
The Rose Bowl every year?
I would. I really would.
No, the way they have it is the six New Year's Day Bowl or the New Year's Six Bowls. They rotate between the semifinals each year. So, like, next year we'll have two of the ones that haven't had it yet are going to be it. I can't remember. I think it's, like, the Sugar Bowl and the Peach Bowl are our semifinals. And then we have the national championship, wherever it is, and they just rotate.
Yeah, I don't really like that. Iowa-Stanford. You know, this is a tough one because Iowa was good this year. Iowa was really good this year. Very dominant. 12-0, and then they lose to Michigan State. Stanford, from week one, man, I thought they were just going to be garbage. I thought they were going to have such a down season. Northwestern played really well against them, shut them down. They bounce back, have actually a really good season. They beat USC two times. They did what they needed to do. Stanford has showed that they've got a really good offense. But then they've showed that, man, they can go to sleep quickly. Iowa, in this one, I think it's going to be about defense. Because the Hawkeyes, how much can they score offensively? Against Michigan State, it wasn't a lot. But Iowa showed that it's had a really good defense. It can hold them down. If it's a defensive game, Iowa will win. If it's an offensive game, Stanford gets the win. That's where I'm putting it.
A little bit of history for this one. Because this is a game that's been being played since the first Rose Bowl was January 1st of 1902. Stanford actually played in that game. Michigan blew them out 49-0. But just a little bit of history for all the youngins out there. The last time Stanford went to the Rose Bowl was 2 years ago, January 1st, 2014. They lost by 4 points to the number 4 team in the country, Michigan State. The last time Iowa went to the Rose Bowl, January 1st, 1991, number 17 Iowa lost to number 8 Washington, 46-34. So the last time these two teams have gone to the Rose Bowl, they both have lost it. However, Stanford did get a bowl game win here when they played Wisconsin. I want to say that was the Andrew Luck Rose Bowl in 2013. So Stanford's the last team out of these two to win it. However, in their last meeting, both these teams have lost the Rose Bowl. I think, and I said this already, Iowa is going to get a 300-yard performance. Maybe not 3 touchdowns. I'm not going to go that far like I did the last time I said they were going to win, which was the Big Ten title game. But Iowa gets 300 rushing yards in this game and wins by at least 2 touchdowns. I think it's going to be a 2-touchdown game. I think Iowa comes out in this one ready to prove everybody wrong. It's going to be, and to me, I feel like it's going to be close all the way through, and then Iowa gets one at the end just to make it a 2-score game, too. So don't just think, oh, it's a 2-score game. It's not close. There, I'm not going to say it will be, but I'm going to say there's a 50% chance we're looking at this one going, wow, this game was better than the two playoff semifinals. There's a chance.
We'll see. I don't know. I think that this will be a good game, but I think that your 1 through 4, those are going to be good games.
And if you're saying, well, Ricky, we got to talk about those playoff games. No, we don't. We're saving those two for in 2 weeks. When we get to the week before, that's when we're going to talk about our playoff matchups. But that's going to do it for the Primetime Podcast this week. My special question for you guys to leave me your thoughts in the comment section. It's simple. Which bowl game are you looking most forward to? Could be anything. Could be the one that your favorite team's in. Could be a New Year's Six Bowl. Could be one, like I said, where that Pinstripe Bowl with Indiana and Duke, just with how those team seasons have gone this year. Let me know what bowl game you guys are looking for down in the comment section. Also, tell us about any bowl game we talked about today. What do you think? Let us know in the comment section. We will see you next week. We'll kind of have we're going to call it a wild card week next week. Maybe throw in some college basketball before we get to, in 2 weeks, our college football playoff preview. It was great being able to talk about some football with you guys, or to you guys, I should say. You can follow me on Twitter at Ricky Widmer. Brandon, as always, is at young_swan19 because he's a young, cool cat himself. Most Valuable Podcast is at Most Valuable Pod. I want to thank you guys for listening. Go ahead, hit that like button and subscribe button. And as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.